some probably fairly untold stories that, you know, some things that have gone on in the history of Arkansas that maybe people are not as familiar with. And is there a way to gather, you know, information and audio, video, things like that from these great stories? Because there's so many great stories from the state, you know, from the history and I guess things that are happening now. How do you go about trying to do some of that?
Well, you can go to the website, priorcenter.uark.edu, and there are samples of all of the highlights on video of the interviews that have been done. And they're in-depth, you know, several-hour interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also check the transcripts and listen to the entire audio interview and download it. If you want to make a CD of it, you can listen to it in your car.
Very cool.
Whatever.
So you brought in some clips today. Last time you did this, it was really fun, and it made Tommy Smith jealous, which was really all I'm in this for. So today we go back. You've got 13 clips here that you brought in.
Most of them sports.
Okay, from the archives, and one of the most famous Arkansans, especially from a Major League Baseball standpoint.
You've probably heard of, yeah.
Yes, Brooks Robinson. Yeah. Brooks Robinson.
23 years with the Orioles.
This is a clip from 1971. What was he talking about?
Well, they had won the World Series in 1970 against the Reds, I think five games. And Bud Campbell, who was the sports director at the time, caught up with him and talked to him about the win.
It couldn't have been better, Bud. The series was just fantastic, and it's a great feeling to come out with 25 guys and be number one for a winner, you know. And it's for me, for as far as the series is concerned, I don't think it'd ever happen again because it was most of the balls that I caught, it's just a matter of inches, you know, 2 or 3 inches, and they're all base hits. So I was very fortunate and to be in the right spot, and I got a few base hits, and it was just a great series all the way around.
What sort of after-series or after-game reaction did you get from some of the Cincinnati players that you robbed of base hits?
Well, I haven't talked to any. I hadn't run into any of them along the banquet trail yet, but I'm sure I will this winter. But I know after I made a couple of catches off of Johnny Bench, he told me, he said, okay. He said, the next one, he said, it looks like the only way I'm going to get it by you is to hit it over you. And sure enough, he ended up hitting a home run off of me, you know, so... that's just about. I have a lot of friends there. Pete Rose is a close friend of mine, and it's just one of those things. And I'm sure they'll be back playing for the World Championship next year.
Brooks, when you have something like this happen for you, and you've certainly earned it and deserved it, does it mean that the demands on your time for this winter and the early part of next spring before you go to spring training have been really greatly enhanced?
Well, it sure has. I've been jumping around a little more, but January is really going to be a hectic month for me. But outside of that, everything is going to be almost normal. I've got about, I guess, 31 days in January. I've got about 20 banquets, such as a St. Louis Writers Banquet, the Houston Writers Banquet, New York, and the Hickok Award is in Rochester. So I'm going to be jumping around from town to town. And I enjoy it. I don't mind it that much, and I'm going to be back in February, and I'll have to start concentrating on next year again.
Are you going to go after that $100,000 contract?
Well, I haven't thought too much about it, and I think I've got a good chance of getting it. I sure do, but it's one of those things where nobody's going to give you anything. You got to go in and negotiate for it just like you do in any other business, and I never demanded it. I know it came out in the paper saying I demanded this and demanded that, but I never really demanded anything, and I'm looking forward to starting the negotiations, though.
$100,000.
Boy.
How unreasonable.
The big bucks. There are guys making $100,000 a game now. It's insane. 1971, a lot of things have changed since then. The other thing that stood out to me, I'm trying to imagine Derek Jeter or some of these other stars of today going on a banquet trail.
Yeah, the banquet circuit.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
They go on supermodel trails now. They don't go on banquet trails. Staying in the baseball vein, a clip from 1970. This is August Busch, the most senior?
Yes.
Because there's like nine of them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, owner of Anheuser-Busch, formerly, and owner of the Cardinals.
There's more August Bushes, I think, than there are Napoleons over the years.
Yeah, but I met the third,
okay,
which is, he's close to our age, I think, maybe just a little bit older, but went to a Stones concert with him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you told me that story.
Yeah.
So what's this clip about?
This is just Bud Campbell again. I'm not even sure where he did this or where he ran into August Busch, but he just talked to him about the Cardinals.
Our special guest tonight is Mr. August Busch, who is president of the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, also president and owner of Anheuser-Busch. And Mr. Busch, first of all, which do you enjoy the most, the brewery business or the baseball business?
Well, now, Bud, that's a pretty tough question. I have to admit to you that one of my great loves, and one that I've grown up with longer than I have with baseball, happens to be the beer business. But baseball comes an awful close second without any argument.
I saw you the day that the Cardinals won the World Series a couple of years ago, and I don't believe I've ever seen a gentleman who reflected as much happiness as you did that particular day. That has to be one of the great thrills for you, doesn't it?
Well, Bud, I have to admit that it was one of the greatest thrills I ever had in my live-long life. When we finally won that series, it was, the World Series, and the climax getting into the pennant end of it, and then the real climax of winning the World Series was to me the greatest thing that ever happened.
The baseball beer business.
Two things about that. My live long life.
That's
and
a good one.
August Bush sounds like John Wayne a little bit there. I'll tell you another thing, Pilgrim. I mean, Bud.
A little like the Duke.
He's got some interesting pacing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are going to take a timeout. It's 11:32, and if you want to weigh in on the draft, the NBA playoffs, Hunter Mickelson going to Kansas, or where you think Arkansans might fall in the draft, or maybe I shouldn't put it that way, where you think Arkansans will land in the NFL draft. We certainly welcome all of it at 433-1037, 1-800-477. Appreciate you. Boy, all the cocktail drinkers are out early today. I love it. All right, because we teased it, I don't want to take a break, although we're a little behind here. Two items from the 1969 game between Texas and Arkansas, better known as the
Great Shootout.
Yes.
Yeah, there's actually a documentary that's just been released that
yes.
I did some work on last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, they used there's footage in there from the KTV archives. And it's what I've seen of it, it's very good.
Well, I'm excited about it. There's been a lot of talk about it, and there are going to be several opportunities, I think, for people to see it before the end of the year around here in some different ways. And when I have more info, I'll share more info. But this is a highlight reel from the Big Shootout.
Yeah, I think it's Humble Oil. You know, that at the end of the season, they would always have these highlight reels and with some great music underneath. And here's a clip from that.
In the Ozarks, the battle of the century, undefeated number one and undefeated number two before President Nixon, national television, and worldwide radio via the Humble Network. A minute and a half into the spectacle, Bill Burnett gives Arkansas a 7-0 lead as the Porkers go for their 16th straight victory. After a third quarter fumble by Texas, Montgomery looks, but the Longhorns flush him from the nest. He gains 18 to the Texas 31. Touchdown coming up. Montgomery looks for Dykus. He's got him. And Arkansas is ahead 14-0. Opening the fourth quarter. James Street is forced to run with blocks from Bobby Wunsch, Bobby Mitchell, All-American Bob McKay, and Cotton Spire. He waltzes 42 yards to score. Then Street goes for two on the counter option, and it's 14-8. Arkansas threatens as Montgomery aims for Chuck Dykus, but Danny Lester makes a big steal for Texas. Led on this play by All-American Cliff Powell, the Arkansas defense stiffens. Now, 4th-and-3 at the Texas 43. Wooster drives, but no, Texas, incredibly, is throwing the bomb. 44 yards downfield, Randy Peschel has it at the Arkansas 13. Then Ted Coy makes a great run to the Razorback 2. The left side of the Texas line carves a hole. Jim Bertelsen slithers in, and the score is tied 14-14. Happy Feller makes his point, and Texas leads 15-14. It's not over yet. Montgomery completes 5 quick passes. But suddenly, Tom Campbell intercepts. The Arkansas dream is shattered, and Texas wins.
Montgomery.
Ow.
That sucks.
So
they could throw that pass 1,000 times. I bet they complete it like twice.
So ABC Sports knew this would be the game of the year.
Right.
And before the season began, Rune Arledge went to Frank Broyles and Daryl Royal and said, can you rearrange your schedules so you'll play each other in the last game of the season? And during the negotiations, Rune told the coaches, well, if you'll do this, I'll make sure President Nixon comes to the game. And he did. And after the game was over, Nixon went to both locker rooms, and here's a clip from Nixon in the Arkansas locker room.
They were the great team. Well, thank you, sir. We feel that way, too. It's a tough assignment, isn't it, to have to do? I'd like to say something to the team, because I know how you feel. I've lost some in my field of politics. I've lost some close ones, and I've won some close ones. But I want you to know that in the 100th year of football, in the game to prove which was to be number one, we couldn't have had a greater game. Arkansas was magnificent throughout the game, and Texas, in order to win, had to beat a great team. On any Saturday, if we were to make a bet, I would say we wouldn't know which team to choose, whether it would be Arkansas or Texas. And I also want you to know this. I think you can be awfully proud of the way your fans are with you. I've never seen stands so full of life. The whole state was behind you. There was a spirit there about it, Coach, and that means that your team has done something that's really great for this state.
Thank you, sir. We're very proud of our fans. They've had a big part in the success that we've had.
Right.
But we're doubly proud that you're big sports fans and believe in our program across the state.
Yes.
This will mean a lot to football for years to come.
With all due respect, Mr. President, screw that. Thanks for the pep talk, but this sucks.
What?
That's what I'd be thinking.
And I think Broyles talks about that game for the first time in this documentary. He has not talked about it in any interviews, and this is the first.
I've been told he's never watched the tape.
I've heard that too.
That one stings.
It lingers.
Stinks. Whatever. Both probably.